Well, praise God. He's a good God, amen? He is a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. I want to share a word with you tonight. Is that okay? Or y'all just want to go home? Okay. Get your Bibles out tonight. Woo! If you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to share something with you, some more along the lines of what I was talking about on Sunday about faith. I don't know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about faith, a lot of praying about faith here lately, and everything that we've been taught over the years, and trying to grow and believe God. And I mean, I know all of us in here that there's got to be something that you in your life have prayed about that you never saw happen. And I grew up, you know, not ever understanding anything about faith. Basically, I believe, like a lot of the people in the world believe, that you're just born, you're come to some conversion experience in life, and then you're going to die, and then you're going to see heaven, and that's really it. There's, you know, basically you're just kind of on your own between now and then. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know so many Christians who they do believe in Jesus, and I know that they really, in their understanding, they love Jesus, they would probably say, believe he's the Son of God, believe he'd forgive them their sins, but then God is not active in their life every day. There's not that they've got to be beating the tambourine on the side of the street, but when they're in trouble, they're not going to turn in prayer. They would if it was something horrendous, you know, somebody's diagnosed with cancer and going to the hospital or something like that, or, you know, if they're in a car wreck and arm was cut off and blood squirting everywhere, they'd probably start praying, you know. But, I mean, you know, on the most part, just in their daily life, they're not going to pray about their marriage, they're not going to really pray over their kids, they're not going to really, you know, walk a walk that I would say is what we're supposed to do. And then I remember I went through a period of time that I was really frustrated with the Lord, because it was like, I felt like that I should be walking in a place that I was like Joshua. That if I said the sun to stand still because I needed to work longer that day, that it just should. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? I don't quite understand this faith. I don't quite understand what's going on. I should just be speaking and commanding and waters parting and sick are getting healed, and, you know. And then I realized after a few years of that, you know, I'd be really, really dangerous if everything that came out of my mouth happened. You know, that there had to be some checks and balances, because I'd be a dangerous individual. And so I was just thinking back about my life and the walk of faith and trying to understand what it really truly means to walk in the Spirit, and truly means to walk by faith. I'm at the place now where I wake up in the morning and I really enjoy being with the Lord. I really enjoy reading the Word. I really enjoy, looking into things and investigating things. And, well, why did you say that? Or where's that? Or, you know, whatever. And I enjoy it. And then all day long, I'm always at a place. I told Laura, I said, man, I don't know when, I kind of, y'all just have to pray for me. I don't think I'm getting, you know, into senility or whatever you'd call it. Because after she's been gone, was gone this past time, I got to where I was talking to myself, you know, talking to the Lord and just talking out loud, because what, anybody else in the house? And I just talk, and all my conversations were just out loud. Well, you know, I'm catching myself more and more doing that. And so, like today, I was cutting crown molding, and I was like, okay, now we got to cut this angle. This angle is going to be on this side. And there was a guy standing right there, and I said, now, you know, we're going to cut the angle. It's going to be this way. Okay, we saw it down there, and I need 27 inches. Okay, 27. Looks like 27 inches. And I just realized all I was doing was just, I mean, I was saying everything out loud that I was, that was ever possible even going through my mind, you know. And I was like, okay, well, but I like to have that away with the Lord. I, you know, that's just my day. I mean, like, look at this, you know. I mean, whatever it is, whether it's a complaint or a praise, or it, to me, it's like with Jesus, it's not, he's not a religious figure. You know, he's just my friend, and so I'm just having a conversation all day long. You know, just nobody else can see him. You know what I mean? What was that show with the guy that always said there was a big bunny there? Remember, it was Jimmy Stewart and Harvey the bunny that was always there. You know, it sounded like that. But sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Okay, Lord. But what I'm saying is that I'm over here just talking about everything to the Lord. And then, like I said, there's other people over here that if they died, I believe they would go to heaven. But they don't have any communication with the Lord. And I believe that we're supposed to have an active faith. And I believe that the reason why I'm talking to the Lord is because I believe he's really hearing me and he's really going to do something. And if you don't have any faith, then you're not going to believe God for anything. You're not going to pray. You're not, and so it's really faith is what I'm trying to say is the essence of what your relationship with the Lord's built on. And I don't understand everything. I can't sit here tonight and explain everything about this and that. I don't know everything. But I know that my relationship with him is built on faith. And I believe that if I was in a dire strait and I needed the sun to stand still because Joshua did, I could say, Lord, you did it for Joshua. You have to do it for me because you're not a respecter of persons. So, son, you got to stand still. You know? I'd try it. You know what I'm saying? If I had to walk on water, I'd say, well, Lord, Peter did. And, you know, you're not a respecter of persons. You said that. And so Peter walked on the water. I can walk on water. And so I need to walk on water. So, but it's where it, faith, it's not just something you conjure up. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is faith is not just speaking the words that the Bible say and quoting it out of your mouth. Faith is more. That's why it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is everything in your life. Faith, true, I don't like to use cliche terms, but true biblical faith, it's who you are. You can't take it out of you. You can't, it can't be removed. The things of you that you really are in faith with the Lord, it can't be taken away from you. You can't separate it. It's like splitting an atom, you know. It can't be done on the inside of you because it is who you are. And I think that there was a time in life where there was a lot of, charismatic type people that started trying to make faith into a formula. To where if you did the ABCs of faith, or the 1-2-3s of faith, or the this, that, and the others of faith, if you did this, then the magic potion will work. But faith is not that, and I don't ever want to teach that here in church. Because faith has to be the substance of things. So it has to be the substance of who you are. It has to be the essence of your belief system down on the inside of you. Amen? Okay. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's start reading verse 7. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, so everything God does in the kingdom of God is by faith. God spoke and the worlds were created. Spoke, sun, the sun appeared, the moon appeared, the stars appeared, right? Y'all with me? God does everything by faith. But it says right there that we got to remember that the power is of God, not of us. And the moment you think that you're doing something in order to have power move, then you've just moved into works and you just put the power from you and not from God. Right? If you say, well, I'm going to fast, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be all holy, and I'm going to be good, and then God's going to move. Well, I hate to tell you, you're barking up the wrong tree, because the power's got to come from God. It's not from you. Now, maybe you need to fast. Maybe you get yourself in self-control, because we're going to get over into that. I don't want to. I don't want to preach on self-control, but it does fall in the category of what makes your faith better. So you may need to fast in order to get yourself in self-control so that your faith can be greater. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying if you're doing it based upon works, you know, then the power is coming from you, not from God. He goes on in here and says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be made manifest in our bodies. I don't know about y'all, but that don't sound too much fun. Hard-pressed on every side. Right? Perplexed, persecuted, forsaken. None of that sounds like fun. Now, if there was ever a person that who by works could walk, I think, in, you know, magic faith, it would be the Apostle Paul. Right? I mean, the dude was dedicated. I mean, you read through the Gospels and you read his life, man, this guy's dedicated. He was dedicated before he was saved. Took it his own personal purpose over there in Acts 9 to go out there and drag people out and women and children, throw them in prison because they weren't doing what he thought was the right way. Right? Then he has a vision and everything happens and turns his life around. The next thing you know, everybody's trying to kill him, but yet he's going on. This is a man who could read the Bible, you know, forwards and backwards. This is a guy that was a studied scholar. So if anybody could do it by works, he could. But he said, you know, that's what you don't understand. Yeah, we're persecuted, but it doesn't make any difference. We're not going to be crushed. Things come against us, but we're going to always find victory in this. We're going to always get around it. We're going to always say, and that's one of the things you have to realize is that we do live in a fallen world, and because we live in a fallen world, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Now, this doesn't seem like much to y'all. But I mean, this is one of the highlights of my day today. The highlight of my day today was that one of the subcontractors came to me and he needed a piece of 6-inch PVC pipe. Well, I ain't got 6-inch PVC pipe. Why would I have 6-inch PVC pipe laying anywhere around? And so I needed 8 inches of 6-inch PVC pipe. I'm like, okay. And so he's asking me, and I said, let me think about this for just a second. I said, Lord, I didn't say it out loud. I said it inside my head. I said, Lord, where could I get 6 inches of PVC pipe? Have I used any PVC pipe around here? Is there anywhere I got 6 inches? I mean, 8 inches of 6-inch PVC pipe around here. And so I said, I don't know. I said, hold on. And then just that quick, Holy Ghost said, it's inside in the kitchen. And I was like, what? Why would I have a piece of 6-inch PVC pipe in the kitchen? And I went in there and looked, and way back when the house was originally poured, when the plumbers came in there, they put a 6-inch downdraft to go down for the stovetop, and it was too long. And I went over there and I measured. I needed 8 inches in there, and it was exactly 8 inches too long. And I was like, and so I said, hey. Hey, somebody bring me a saw. Here's some piece of pipe. Okay, it sat there for 3 years waiting for me to cut it off. How did the guy, when he put it in, stub it in 8 inches too long? You know? I mean, you know the guy just randomly drug a piece out of the back of the truck, cut it off, and stuck it in there. I know there was no measurement, but it was exactly 8 inches. Those little things like that tell me my Jesus is alive. It isn't earth shattering. I could have drove to Uvalde and got a piece of pipe. But it, to me, it is like, that boggles my mind, Lord, more than anything I've ever seen. How you work this, how did you work this all around and then boom, there it is. Other people may say, oh, well, wasn't that lucky? There ain't no luck involved in that. No luck involved in it at all. I had 8 inches of 6-inch pipe, just exactly what I needed. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is that faith has to be a living experience all the time. Faith has to be the substance of everything that you are in life. Faith can't just be about the Sunday morning or the even just faith during your Bible reading. What he wants to grow us to is faith in everything so that when you are perplexed or in despair or trouble, you can turn to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what are we going to do here? And your faith on the inside of you wells up and says, there is an answer somewhere. Hold on. We just have to find it. But what the world does is they freak out because there's not the substance and the essence of faith in their life. They freak out. And then there's nothing. They're not hearing anything. Then they go to just thinking rational thoughts and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? When we did this, what are we going to call this person? And see, they're freaked out because they don't have the substance of faith. And what I'm trying to tell you is all those little things, those little experiences, like what the story I just told you, all those little experiences in your life, that's what's supposed to be giving and building your substance of faith on the inside of you, that God is real and that he's moving and it doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. You know he did. You'll never convince me. You can go put me, you can whatever, pull my fingernails out. I'm still going to say somewhere or another some plumber drug that pipe out, cut it off, 8 inches too long, and stuck it in there. And there it was for me, and he did it and didn't know why, and I needed it, and God knew it, and you ain't going to ever convince me any different. Because that's my Jesus. Now, does every day go like that? That was a really bright spot today. You know, is all of my days just like that? You know, just tiptoeing through the tulips? Sometimes I got to go work around. Sometimes it doesn't work like that, you know? But the whole time I'm still building my faith. When I get pressured, I'm not freaking out and saying, oh, God, why aren't you doing something? I'm saying, okay, Lord, I know there's a way around this. Let's see, how do we maneuver this terrain? That's what faith would say, because you believe, you know God is for you, right? And you're trying to figure your course out of what's going on. I mean, imagine Joshua. Here's this guy that just crosses the promised land. They're leading the army, going over. Moses has died. He's now in charge. There's got to be a little bit of fear and trepidation going on the inside of him. He's going over to conquer a whole land. He's got a bunch of people that never been in war, never been in battle. And the very first place they're going to go is to attack this huge city, Jericho, with these walls. They say the walls are so thick they used to run chariots around them. And we're talking about some enormous fortress, and they're going to do it. And his plan is march around it for 7 days, and the seventh day shout, the walls will fall down. Do you know? I mean, listen, this guy has got to have been sweating every night. I bet he had his poker face on in the morning, but I bet he was sweating every night, saying, God, what have you done? Oh, Moses, where are you? How had I got stuck with this job? Oh, my gosh, this is going to look stupid. What if they blow the trumpet and the walls don't fall down? Oh, my Lord. And the next morning he gets out and says, we're going to do it. Come on, guys. They march around thinking, 6 day, then it's the seventh. He's like, oh, God, they're going to blow the trumpet this morning. And the walls fall, right? And woo, here's God. Woo, yeah, they go there and conquer everything. Next city they're going to go. He says, hey, we don't need anybody out there. Send 3,000 guys over there to AI and just kill them. It'll be okay. And they get beat. And he's freaking out. If you go read the story of Joshua goes sitting to the Lord and said, what? What's going on? And God says, don't be talking to me like that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is what he says. Don't you be talking to me like that. It's not my fault, it's yours. So there's a few times that we got some sin in the camp that I believe that things don't work and our prayers are hindered because there's something going on in our lives, something that we've done, we've gotten inordinate affections or made agreements with things we shouldn't have, and we're going to have some issues. You're going to have to hear the Holy Ghost tell you to get out of it. It's the same principle, right? But faith takes us there. See, when you get to the place in life that you believe and you know that God is for you, this is where I've been trying to teach about the blessing, that you're blessed and God wants you blessed and He loves you and His face is towards you and He wants to give you everything and He wants to bless you, and you realize that that's His position towards you. And if it's not going well, then it has to be with you. Right? I'm not trying to be the ugly guy here. I'm just trying to say, and if your faith is where you're turning and saying, Lord, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? There's something wrong with the substance of faith that's on the inside of you. Something's not working quite right. Because when things don't go right, you immediately turn to, it's got to be God's fault. And I just want you to know tonight, it's never God's fault. And all that malarkey and books that have been written saying God says no to you when you pray, Frank says, God, I really need you to bless and help me and writing this down. God said, no, Frank, not this time. That's wrong. Oh, I believe. People can pray for some crazy things. You know, if you're praying for a Rolls Royce, I'm not saying God wouldn't want you to have a Rolls Royce because He wants to bless you with everything, but you probably not in the place in life that you probably don't need one. Hello? But anyway, maybe you do. I don't know. But anyway, my point is that the faith has got to be in you. It's got to be the substance of you. It can't be something that you conjure in your mind. It can't be just because you quote the scriptures at it, you think that's going to make everything work. It can't be that you're working this works or the ABCs of faith. It can't be something you're conjuring up. It's got to be the substance of what you are and who you are and what you're believing. It's got to be down on the inside of you before you're going to really see the hand of God move. And the bottom line is, if you can be talked out of it, if the devil can talk you out of it, your mind can talk you out of it, you're not in faith. If the devil can come in and say, you're a sinner and God doesn't really love you, and why would He want to bless you? And you say, well, you know, I guess you're right. You got talked out of faith. But the real truth was, you weren't really in faith to start out with. You just got talked out of your mental concept of faith. All right? Let's read on here a little bit. He says, verse 11, For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So what Paul's just talking about in this whole section of this chapter is that, you know, they are being persecuted. They are going through all this stuff, but it's for the benefit of the people that are hearing and receiving the gospel, and he's going through all of that. And he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. He quoted Psalms 116 there, is where he got that. So he quoted the scriptures. He said, the scripture says what we believe that we're going to speak. That's what the scripture says, and we're doing the same thing. We're speaking what we believe. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you really want to know what's in your heart, listen to what your mouth says. If inside of coming out of your mouth is, we're doomed, we'll die, we're never going to make it, that's really what's in your heart. And you're basically trying to read the word and get it down inside of your head that everything is going to be okay, and then get your faith working and finally get to that place. But if that's what comes out of your mouth all the time, that's really what you believe, that's down inside your heart. So if you want to know what's in your heart, that's what you got to get out. And you usually don't really know what's in your heart until you get stressed. And under stressful situations, that brings up, sad to say, the worst of us. And gets out of the heart, throws up, and everything boils out our mouth. So then it says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Now, verse 14. I want to just stop here and I want to take this a little side trip. I don't know that you can truly walk in deep faith, okay, without having a really good revelation of eternity, of heaven, that we're just here for a moment. We're just here passing through. This earth is not your home. Heaven is your home. Y'all will never get rid of me for eternity. Unless you don't make the cut. I'm making the cut. Everything I do on this earth, I know it's only temporal. I want to live with and I do live with a real sense of the reality of eternity. Everything I look at it, it's just about it. When you start thinking about eternity, you start thinking about heaven, you start looking at it like that, everything begins to change. It's not really so important that you're first. Now, I'm going to have to live with my wife for eternity. I'm not sure about that. She said she's, you know, got some kind of clause in there she's found or something, you know, whatever. But so why do I want to waste any time on earth being mad at her? That's the way I look at it. Why do I want to fight and try to get into some kind of a big hissy with her just to prove my point? What good is that going to do? You see, the having a revelation, Paul had a revelation of eternity. He said, man, we're just a small flicker, just a little. It's really all we are. He said, you're just a flame that burnt and then went out. That's what your life is here on earth. When you start to have that kind of a precept about everything and everything that you do, and all your perceptions come from this thing that, man, everything's really just short. It's not long term on this earth. Then all of a sudden it changes your whole concept of faith. It's like opens a door. I mean, when we meet Jesus and we see him face to face, the Bible says we're going to change. But my relationship with him couldn't change. Think about this. For the past 30 years, I've been walking with the Lord and learning and growing. But I mean, I know him. I mean, he may look different than I would think. But who he is not going to change. Just because I stepped into heaven and could see him. The relationships and the faith that we're building right here on earth, it's all about eternity. It's all about something greater than just getting what we want on this earth when we want it. You sacrificed your Sunday going to the jails and gave Andy a hug and it changed his life. It's not about really what we want. It's about what he wants. And if a person's into walking by faith so that they can get God to do what they want God to do, well, that's wrong. That's a marriage of manipulation. All right, enough of that. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing and our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, folks, if you're looking at everything from the world's perception, all right? If I could get in such trouble here. I mean, just think about it. The world tries to form us, what we look like, what we wear, what we eat, how we say, what we talk, how we wear our hair, everything that we do. The world tries to form everything about us. And if we're all caught up in that, well, then all we're doing is looking at the temporal, and it's affecting us. But if we look over at the eternal, the things that are not seen, folks, listen to me. Those kids that are getting their lives changed in Guatemala, man, that's eternal. That's eternal. The people that are getting blessed and helped and set free in freedom prayer, that's eternal. If we get our eyes focused on the things that are temporal, I mean, yes, we do have to have food, we do have to have money, we do have to have a house and a roof over our head and these things. I'm not saying we never pray about that. I'm just saying you're in the light of eternity. When you get that perception and that perspective on everything, it starts making everything else on earth look simple, and faith grows. Faith grows. And Paul said the secret is you just don't look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen. Well, how do you do that? It's hard sometimes to be dealing with mean and ugly and vicious people and try to not see them or not hear them. I mean, I got to admit it. I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, the Lord knows it and He's dealing with me. But there's some people, I don't really care if they do go to hell. I mean, I'm serious. My attitude towards them is, fry, buddy. I've about had enough of you. I've listened to all I can talk. I want to hear talk to you anymore about it. Heck with it. And then the Holy Ghost convicts me and says, Robert, it's not right. Because let me show you a little something. Go to 2 Peter, and I'll finish up here. 2 Peter, chapter 1, start reading verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now this is salty old Peter, the fisherman, the one that got rebuked by the Lord, got called Satan, got the rooster crowing, okay, all that kind of stuff. To those who have obtained like precious faith, that would be us, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be magnified to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace and peace is multiplied to you the more you understand God and Jesus. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, so how are you going to get around that? I've had some preachers try to preach because they didn't want to believe that God would do miracles and that God would help you and that God would give you 8 inches of pipe, that was immaterial in His big scheme of things. And they tried to preach it and said, the divine power has given to us all things that pertain to a life of godliness. But I want to tell you something, that's not my Jesus I know. Because my Jesus I know, He wants to give you all things that pertain to life. And life, when you're hurting, you're grieving, you're going through a hard time, whatever, Jesus wants to do something about it. He takes no joy and pleasure in you suffering. I can tell you that my years of being going broke and working through everything that we worked through as a family, getting us to this place that we are today, it taught me how to manage money, it taught me how to have faith, it taught me how to sow, it taught me how to do everything. Going through those hard times, I learned great, great, great valuable things from God in those tough times. It's what sustains me today and well, gets my family where we need to be, gets this church where it needs to be. Okay? So I know that God wants to provide everything. Through the knowledge of Him, He called us by glory and virtue. Okay. By which He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, so you've been given exceeding and great and precious promises, every divine thing that you needed, and da 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 da. It's all yours. Why? Because God loves you. Because God wants you to understand that you're blessed. God wants to lay a path for you. He wants to do for you, but your faith has to be the substance of who you are. So then here we go. Like I said, sometimes there's litmus test here to test where we are, you know, on our level of faith. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, what are we talking about? Add to your faith. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, doesn't the Bible say that love conquers all things? I was really, I don't know if I'd use the word disgusted this morning, but I looked up the word virtue just because I wanted to get it down. So I looked up the Greek word there, virtue. It means a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and emotion. So add to your faith a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action. I can tell y'all I have to work on that if I'm going to enlarge my faith, because I don't always have nice thoughts. So right now, today, I want to tell you, if you think your faith, where's your faith at? Well, then your thought life has to do with your faith life. So if you're wrestling all the time with thoughts of failure, thoughts of anger, thoughts of jealousy, thoughts of murder, thoughts of, you know, whatever, then it's going to wane on your faith life. Right? Because he says, if you want your faith to be stronger, you have to add virtue to it. Okay? And then he says, in knowledge, you're going to add knowledge to it then. Add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. So you've got this, trying to get this thinking right. So he says, well, this add knowledge to it means a deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowledge of this religion or Jesus, such as belongs to more in advance. In other words, you've got to get your thinking straight, so you've got to have some knowledge to get your thinking straight. So he's like, here's your faith, here's your knowledge, here's your virtue. You've got to add to that virtue knowledge so you're thinking more, so it's growing, so now you got good thoughts. Right? And then to the knowledge that you got good thoughts, self-control. You know all those proverbs where it says, I'm paraphrasing him, but like, the wise man keeps his mouth shut. You know, I'm paraphrasing this, but that's what it says. It talks of, you know, the man that is in control of his mouth, you know, will rule the world. Again, give it to me. I'm paraphrasing this, all right? But it says it, right? So then he says right here, you gotta have self-control. That's why I said I didn't really want to preach on this. So that means when you're stressed, you don't go to the Twinkies, you go to Jesus. Self-control. You don't eat the chocolate cake. You gotta find what you listen to me. I was laughing when I went home Sunday because I told that story about not eating that chocolate cake. But, it would have been no test for me if there had been Brussels sprouts out there. It doesn't do any good. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't build your self-control. When there's something you don't like anyway, and you say, well, I'm going to fast this year on Brussels sprouts. That's the thing I'm giving up to the Lord. I will never eat Brussels sprouts again. If you don't like them, so it's like radishes. If you don't like radishes, you know, I'll never eat a radish. I lay that down before you, Lord. You're not getting any self-control there. You're not disciplining yourself, right? It has to be the thing you love. Right? It has to be your weakness. If you want to get yourself under self-control, just whatever you love the most. I was going to say, y'all aren't going to like me after this message. But whatever you love the most, give it up. Give it up for a time. And when your body craves it, you say, shut up, man. I'm in control. My spirit's in control. You ain't going to get nothing. I wouldn't eat that Twinkie for nothing. Everybody say, good preaching. And when you do that, what I'm trying to say to you is when you do that, your faith grows. If you want to have, there's no secret formula here. It's your life. You're dedicating yourself to the Lord. You're looking for eternity. And when you kill part of yourself, then all of a sudden now, man, you're starting to grow. He said, you know, Lord, I got that under control. And he's like, I'm so glad you did because now I can use you. All right. Shall we go on? It says, and then if you got self-control, perseverance, and that really means endurance. Okay? Why do you need endurance if everything is easy? You don't need endurance to pedal a bicycle downhill. You just need the skill to sit in the seat. Yeah? You need endurance to go up the other side. The next one was godliness. Okay? Reverence and respect and piety towards God. Godliness. Okay? Then it says in godliness, brotherly kindness. It's the word Philadelphia. It means really to love your brothers in Christ. Care about them who's hurt and suffering. All right? And then with brotherly kindness, you're going to have love. And that's agape love. That's the love that doesn't see anything except it's the love like God looks at everything. It doesn't see the ugly. It doesn't see the bad. All I'm saying to you tonight is, and I know this is kind of a, you know, maybe not a rah-rah message. Maybe one of you don't, you know, want to go home and memorize and put up on there, but you should. Because it is, if you want your faith to grow, this is what we're talking about. And if we're going to be strong in faith, we've got to look at eternal things. We've got to quit looking at the things that are seen. And we've got to let that it be who we are, the life of us. The life of us. And you know how I've told this story so many times about going somewhere and somebody, you know, says, are you Robert Richards, you know? I was so happy because I had that experience happen this week. And I got out of the truck and I wasn't mad. I was so happy. I was like, I wasn't mad. I wasn't going to chew anybody out. I wasn't angry with anybody. I went up to introduce myself and I asked this person a question. And then he looks at me and says, you're Robert Richards, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, I am. I'm doing pretty good. How about that one, Nort? I didn't. You didn't have to catch me on that one. I was doing good. I was so happy. Made my whole week. So all I'm saying is I'm growing. Right? We got to grow. Our faith has to grow. Everything has to grow. We can't stop. We can't be stagnant. We can't just expect, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody poof and everybody's got it. Woo! No, we got to grow. We got to be growing. We got to be growing. We got to be growing. We're never going to get there. We're never going to get to the place of completion. All of a sudden we've arrived and right? But we just see a little growth. So I just encourage you, you know, maybe go back and read some more on that 2 Peter. If I get brave enough, I might preach that Sunday, preach it again, but that's where the Lord wants to go. But anyway, let's stretch ourselves. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, we can do it. All right, praise God. Good word? All right. Well, let's take up our offering tonight. You needed one? Bob will get you one. Y'all don't forget there's the men's fellowship tomorrow night, 6:30 over at the fellowship hall. Bring a dessert. I don't know. What? Carrie's not here. We bringing more dessert? Yeah, let's bring dessert. Somebody's eat dessert. I don't know what's going on, food deal. What do I know? I'm just a pastor here. All right, put your hand on your offering. Father, I just declare tonight we are the most blessed, richest, wealthiest people on the face of the earth. I declare businesses prosper, lives prosper, investments prosper, just find money everywhere, Lord. Because I know that's what you want for us. You said you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. So bless them this night in Jesus' name. Amen. We got any other announcement? Anything else going on? Yeah, I think the 31st is the Sunday, isn't it? Fifth Sunday? Five Sundays this month. Well, stand to your feet. Grab that person's hand beside you there and say, you're going to make it. So, Lord, I just declare as we leave this building tonight, we're going to be encouraged because you're everything about us. You're the substance, the essence of our lives. And, Lord, I just declare that we're going to grow in faith and grow with you and just walk this life. And, Lord, we're going to always see victory because that's the kind of God you are. And so whether the sun's got to stand still or the water's got to part or, Lord, we walk through a little fire like old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whatever happens, Lord, I just know you're going to be right there in the midst of it with us. And that's what means everything in life. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.